You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. God, in His boundless ways, may not always reveal Himself through dramatic manifestation. He can also speak to us in His still, small voice. Let's hear how we can focus our listening and obedience to God by listening to Him through His whisper.
Welcome to Every Nation Macau. We exist as a church to honor God and make disciples. Okay? We cannot proceed without greeting the person beside you and say, I'm glad you're here tonight. I am Marielle. I'm Marielle Sinus. I'm a wife and a mother of three, and I am one of the volunteers in this church. Okay? This evening, I was asked to preach the last part of our series entitled, Let's Say Together with the Whisper. 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 Let me lead you and let us read together from the text, Judges 4, 1 to 7. Let's all together read it. May I request everyone, sorry I have let you sit down. May I request everyone to please stand up in reverence to the Word of God. Okay. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. Okay, let me just pray shortly. Father, we thank you for the authority of your word. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Please speak to our heart, O God, as we listen to the preaching of the word. And may we leave this place with a brand new faith and the obedience to obey you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated again. Okay. So let me just bring you back during that time by looking at the verse 1 of chapter 4. Verse 1 describes the pattern of Israel from rebellion to captivity and deliverance. So that is a pattern, no? When you say pattern, it happens, then it happens again. It's like the same thing that takes place. During those times, the people of Israel were governed by judges as representative of God to guide and protect the infant nation. Why infant nation? Did you read the book Exodus? Were you able to read that? Okay. During that time, okay, what happened in Exodus was just a bit fresh. It's supposed to be fresh in their memories. So they were not ruled by kings. They were not ruled by princes. Their true king was God Almighty, who made covenant with them by giving them commands that if they follow these commands, okay, they will not become slaves again. You remember, the Lord delivered them out of slavery from Egypt, where they were oppressed for long, long years. But as time and years went by, you know, the miracles that they experienced during the Exodus, they start to diminish in their memory. They start to forget about it. So it also made them forget the goodness and the greatness of God. Okay. Sometimes people are forgetful, right? So they went on their way. What happened to them? They went on their own way and broke the covenant that they have made with God. So they rebelled against God. And they switched their loyalty to newfound gods. They had new gods. So he sold them into the hands. Look at verse 2, it says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Why is that? You know, remember, the Lord was telling them to obey his commands because God was telling them that they do not have to bow before any other gods because there's only one true God. Amen? So, what happened was that when God sold them into a cruel king named King Jabin, he also had a cruel commander. Okay, his name was Sisera. Imagine a wicked king and a cruel commander. That's already, what's that? Equals to terror, right? So the judge who was representing God to Israel at that time was Deborah. Okay, her name was Deborah. If you look at that, it says, the prophetess of God. She is a prophetess and a wise judge who was spoken of in the Bible, not because of what she does for her husband, okay, but on how she served and obeyed the Lord. I don't know if you observe that. When you read the Bible and you see the accounts of women in the Bible, you will see how they served their husband, how they were as a, you know, a wife. But here, this woman, Deborah, okay, she was spoken of in the Bible for her loyalty and service to God, how she served and obeyed the Lord. Some Bible scholars say that it wasn't very clear whether Deborah had a husband or maybe if she was really a wife, because the word wife and woman in their language mean the same thing. When you say wife, it means woman also. But no matter what was the truth, okay, about it, the verses mention how people would go to her for wisdom and guidance. Okay, so it's very clear that Deborah here, a prophetess of God, was also a woman of wisdom. Deborah was known for her remarkable faith, full of wisdom as a judge. She was also a priestess. But unlike the male priests, she didn't offer sacrifices. You know what she did? She led worship and she even preached the word of God to them. And as a prophetess, she heard God's voice and shared it to others. Let's look at verse 4. They remembered God. So here, this is defining moment. They remembered God, so they prayed for help. Imagine, no? After enjoying, after being, they're free. So they said, freedom, okay? When you are free, there's no one looking at you. You can do anything what you want, right? There's no governance. There's no lordship. So they thought that, okay, I can do whatever I want to do. But what happened to them? And so they suffered, so they remembered God in their suffering, and they prayed for help. Of course, God, as a covenant-keeping God and a loving Father, He heard their prayer and He extended to them His hands through a woman who hears His voice. So tonight, let's learn from Deborah how God's voice shaped her. How God's voice shaped her. Number one, Deborah's worship echoes the voice of God. Okay, let's read from Judges chapter 5, 2 to 3. That the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princess, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Okay, did you see the switch? Earlier we were reading from chapter 4, now we are reading from chapter 5. Chapter 5 is like a song that was sung by Deborah in the presence of the congregation. But if we look at the verses, you know, here's Deborah worshiping God for His faithfulness. She was declaring God's greatness in thanksgiving. She wasn't just singing the song of elevation or victory worship or every nation music. But here, Deborah was declaring God's greatness in thanksgiving. You know, she was worshiping the Lord for moving the heart of the people to take place and join in the work of salvation, that of deliverance that He was doing. And as a worship leader, Deborah leads the congregation through a song of celebration and deliverance. You know, when she started saying this, where is that? She said, hear, O kings, give ear, O princess, to the Lord. I will sing, I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Okay? And here it says, she was recalling what God has done to the people of Israel during the time, okay, during the time of Exodus. Okay, that was the time she was telling them, do you remember what happened in the Exodus? How God delivered us from those cruel and wicked Egyptians? That's what she was doing there. She was recalling those things, the wonderful things that God has done to Israel in a song. And she exhorts them and calling forth their heart to return to God who delivered them from Egypt. So it was like Deborah was telling them, remember who delivered you out of Egypt. You remember who brought you here this far. Remember why we are here right now. It's the Lord. It's not those people. It's not you. Remember the Lord. He is the one who delivered us. Okay, the verse is more than music. No, Deborah was addressing the kings and princes, the nobles and rulers of the land. Know what? Why she was addressing them? She was telling them, open your heart. Let's put back Jesus, God. Reinstate the true God and King, God Almighty of Israel in your heart. That's what she was saying. She was declaring that rulership rightly belongs to God alone. No, as a prophet, she was prophetically declaring and decreeing. Okay, she was telling them that let's worship the God, the true God of Israel, who saved you from this, who led you out of this slavery. No, but when Deborah was doing that, she was telling the people that the true God, who is God Almighty, delivered them from the real enemy, from the worst enemy, and that is sin. Okay? And, you know, you remember God was working in giving their deliverance, and it's the same thing that God, who is faithful, he is faithful until now that he sent Jesus, his son, on the cross, so that through his death, we can also experience deliverance from our sin, and that is the real salvation. Now, you see, Deborah here, she was declaring that. She leads in worship, and she imparts faith, okay, to the kings and princes that she intends to provoke them to proclaim the greatness of God. When you came here worshiping, did you also have that experience in your heart? Wow. These past days, I have been working. I've been working for my boss, but who really is my boss? I have been praying and asking God, how can I provide for my family? Where do I get to pay for the bills? But you realize today, the Lord is my provider. See how powerful is God's voice speaking to us through worship? And that's how Deborah was to the congregation when she was doing that. And she was addressing to the king because she was telling them who was the real king. Okay, with this note, let's listen and take heed. God is speaking to us right now. I'm not the one telling you, but I believe God is reminding you, whose child are you? Okay, who are you serving? Okay, so if you are discouraged today, you are a little bit confused, you are a little bit like, you are uncertain what will happen next. Okay, maybe right now you have worshipped the Lord, you're sitting here. Maybe at the back of your mind, you're thinking about your worries, about your trouble. It's the same thing. I leave this place, I'll go back, the problem is still the same. You know what? I believe the Lord is telling you today, tonight, speak God's word to you. Okay, declare God's word in your situation, just as you have sang in worship earlier. Okay. Let's read from Judges 5, 6 to 8 as we proceed. Judges 5, 6 to 8. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? Okay, number two, how the voice of God shaped Deborah. Deborah was willing to be used by God. Let's focus on verse 6. Okay, can we read it all together in verse 6? I think you're all sleepy now, so let's wake up. Let's read the word of God and let it speak to our heart. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. Okay, can you picture the scenario? Why people had to take paths that are not frequently walked through? They were avoiding harm. Can you imagine that? Okay. Why? Maybe there's harm in the main road, okay? According to Bible scholars, they said that, you know, the cruel commander, Sisera, he has posted bandits along the roads, Okay? And so the people, they were hesitant to pass through that because when they see them, they might be tortured or they might be harassed. They were avoiding the main road. So you see a clear picture of hesitation, right? They were hesitant. Deborah, we see her different spirit. Deborah understood that God uses willing individuals. She was ready while others are hesitant and they were calculating. We can't go that way. It's not safe. You know, we can't do that. Of course, there's wisdom also in considering that. But here, we see Deborah. She was willing. The word of God steers her innermost being to act upon it. You know, it's so obvious, right? While everyone in that place was hesitant, Deborah, she was full of the word of God. And God's word marinates her heart, okay? That when the Spirit of God steers her heart, she did not hesitate. There was no second thought as her mind and heart were filled by the word of God. She didn't think, would God help me? Would I be safe? What if? No, her willingness is anchored on the plan of God. And you know what? Because the word of God is embedded in her heart, the loudest voice that she heard was the whisper of God. There were no other thoughts that were playing in her mind except what God's word, the voice of God that has been assuring her. That's why you see her willingness here. You know, if you read more about the history of this story of Deborah, you would see that Deborah would go to the temple every day. She would go to the temple every day. It says earlier that she was the wife of Lapidoth. You know, if you look at the word Lapidoth, it would mean in other texts that it is it means torch. So her husband would make the torch and she would bring the light into the temple every day. And you know what? It has been said that Deborah's diligence on the word gave her wisdom. And this rings so much, you know, revelation to us today. Very clear that the everyday devotion that we come into the presence of God, reading His word and in prayer, it builds so much wisdom in us. Do you agree? Yeah. Whatever you keep reading every day, that would affect your direction and the way you live your life. But here, Deborah, she demonstrated willingness because the word of God marinates her heart. Let me ask you this. How many of us here at one point of our lives thought we heard God and then we realized it's our voice, it's not God's voice? Have you experienced that? I thought it's God who spoke to me. And how many people have you heard told you, oh, God spoke to me? But you don't see that clear direction in their steps. You don't see there is hesitation. You don't see the boldness. You know, they're not willing to be used by Him. Why? This is sometimes a lack of understanding about God's plan and will. Hey, let me show you a picture. Okay. It was drawn by and written by one of my daughters when she was 8 years old. Okay. So if you look at the picture, we see there, God will bless your children, Marielle. And so I asked her, what do you mean with this picture? She said that this rays, they represent the voice of God from heaven. Okay. And God was telling me, her mom, God will bless your children, Marielle. And here I am, okay, in the garden, I'm saying, God is with me. Okay, you know, imagine, I want to show something in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." When I saw that picture, can we show the picture again? You know, my heart was filled with joy and peace. And I knew exactly that God was speaking to me through my daughter. God was encouraging me. You know, she's not a prophet. She's not a pastor. She's not a victory group leader. But what she just said and has drawn there, it is confirmed by Jeremiah 29:11. So how do we know that we heard God's voice correctly? When it's confirmed by the word of God. It should agree with the word of God. Okay? So don't immediately jump into conclusion that God spoke to me. That's the word of God. Okay, you have to check God's word. But if your heart is filled with the word of God, it will not be a struggle, right? You know immediately if what you're hearing is the word of God. Number three, God's voice shaped the heart of Deborah. Number three, she was bold, having confidence in the word. Okay, let's see here. In verses 7 to 8, the villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? If you look at verses 7 to 8, here are the key words. Villagers ceased to be. They cannot be seen anymore. Okay? And another key word. It says here, new gods were chosen. And war was in the gates. Okay? And the next verse, I'll read it all. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? You know, this verses 7 to 8, they describe that not only that life was hard in Israel during that time. No, their normal life ceased. The normal life would be they would plant, okay, and they would harvest. And during harvest time, they would gather together. They would sing in celebration, okay, celebrating their harvest. But you could not see those pictures anymore. You could not see those scenario anymore. Okay? They were no longer seen. Their weapons were also confiscated that they could not fight. That's why earlier, you remember, the travelers, they were hesitant to walk on the main road. They were walking on the byways because they were intimidated not to engage in any fight. They did not have the weapon to fight their enemy. Okay? So imagine how difficult life has become to the Israelites. Imagine after experiencing manna, quail from heaven, and this time they were slaves again. How sad is that, right? So if we look at this, you know, the people of Israel at this point, they were left helpless and they were like losing life's purpose. They forgot what happened in the Exodus. You know, if you look at this, this scenario has a spiritual analogy. Okay, what is it? Not only that the enemy would oppress the believers, but he would also try to disarm, okay, the believers of their weapons. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 12, 18. This is what it says. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, and so on, against spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, we need to put on the full armor of God. How many of you experience that, you know, because of the many bad news that you have been hearing, it's like you also start to feel that those bad news happening to other people, they're already happening to you. No, those discouragements that you have heard, those negative words that people have spoken to you, it's like they paralyze you already because of fear. You can no longer stand. You forgot that you are a believer. You know what Jesus, Jesus told Peter? He told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. But what's happening with the believers? What's happening with you right now, with us right now? Maybe for some of us. Okay, here let's go back to Deborah. The voice of God gave Deborah a bold spirit to inspire and to challenge others. You know, she was not only a judge, she was not only faithfully delivering her office as a judge to Israel, but she also went beyond her leadership role to take, you know, to position others to take charge. See? Here, Deborah, she was putting on the full armor of God. Although in the physical, she did not have weapons, but in her heart, the word of God is her sword of spirit. Can you imagine that, church? Okay, Judges chapter 4, 6, 7. Let's see Deborah, how she charges a man here. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord the God of Israel commanded you, go gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. See, we see here Deborah charging Barak in the authority of the Lord. No, Deborah was not assuming here. She quoted what the word said. She said, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Okay, so her confidence comes from the word of God. It's not about what she knows or what she feels or how she calculated, but she is basing her charge to Barak on the word of God. You know, this is the reason why scholars said she is a wise judge. She makes her claim legal based on the word spoken by God. You know, it's like she's coming before God and say, oh God of heaven and earth, this is what you've said in your word and I am claiming it today. And then she is talking to Barak and said, don't be afraid, rise up, come on. This is what God is telling you. That's why she is called a wise judge. She knew very well the legal implication of her charge to Deborah. Is this speaking to you? Is God speaking to you right now? I hope so. I hope God is, the Holy Spirit is steering in your heart His word, the promises that He has given you. No? We see a picture here of Deborah giving a clear instruction of a battle plan. She was bold of charging Barak, knowing it is the will of God. Now, I remember how many times God's voice would defy nature. How many times? Okay, let's not go far. How many times have we heard that a strong typhoon is coming and then we come together as a church and pray and we are all rejoicing because the weather forecast says that the typhoon, you know, went to different direction. Is that a coincidence? No, it's not. How many times have we prayed for someone who is about to die because of sickness but claiming on the word of God what happened to that person? Or maybe among you here, you are about to go home. Because there's no work, no visa. But you prayed and hold on to the promises of God. And what happened? You're smiling. I know you have your testimony. God came through. Because you did not just assume. You did not just have a strong will. But you stood on the word of God. That's the confidence that we have in Christ. His words, His promises. We don't just assume. We don't just claim things that are not ours. Let's look at the word of God because that's where we get our confidence. I feel like there's someone here who's here tonight and you came here. Maybe you are condemned because of the wrong choices and decisions that you have made. And now you are facing some financial struggles, financial difficulties. No, I believe this is the word of God for you. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. Okay, that's an assurance from God. He's saying, no, you repent of your sin. Okay, my steadfast love for you is higher than what you can conceive, what you can perceive. It's higher than, you know, what you can imagine. Okay? Just like the Israelites, when they went back to the Lord, they prayed and repented. God came, right? He appeared. He extended His arms of salvation through a woman. And today, I believe God also wants to remind each one of us, as His church, let's look at His word. Let's verify what the written word of God is saying about us. Number four, Deborah has a kingdom mindset. In verse 7, letter B, this is what Deborah was saying. I like her boldness. She said, I, Deborah, arose as a mother to Israel. Then verse 8, when new gods were chosen, what happened? War was in the gates. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offer themselves for the people. Bless the Lord. Imagine, oh, it is so obvious in these verses how the Israelites created their own problems. Okay, They switched their loyalty to another god, and so there was war, there was chaos, there was absence of peace. And the problem is there were no weapons that they can hold on to fight because the commander seized all their weapons. But here, Deborah was declaring, "My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offer themselves for the people. Bless the Lord." After Deborah spoke the word of God to them, she was able to rally them. Okay, God spoke to these people. And what happened? These people responded, and she was with them. See, she was not only faithful in fulfilling her leadership position as a judge. There was no king in Israel. It was the judge who was leading them. But she also joins with the other leaders for the call of God to advance his kingdom. She was not just saying, "Let me just be the mayor. Let the priests do that. Let the doctors do that. Let the experts do that." But you know, for Deborah, she understood the call of God to advance his kingdom. So she joined them. She said she rose up as a mother to Israel. No, she challenged and motivated Barak. Remember, Deborah is a wise judge. So she was empowering this Barak trained and ready for battle. She would not empower someone who's just a new believer who doesn't know anything. Deborah saw that this man that she was empowering was ready and trained for battle. But then Barak seemed to hesitate. Let's look at verse 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." Now, some commentaries say that Barak was not a coward. Okay, he was not afraid. But it's just that he wanted to be assured of God's presence through Deborah being with him. Okay, remember that time? God was represented by the judge. So Barak, as a trained leader, knew the trouble that he would face. That if he'd go there without God, what will happen to him, right? Sometimes, you know, we can be like Deborah. And when I say Deborah, I'm not just addressing the women here. This message is for both men and women. Okay, this morning, Gio mentioned about the spirit of Deborah, how the Lord, you know, imparted that faith in our heart. And we can be like Deborah, not only to our own children, but to those younger men and women that God has entrusted us, to those who are around us. Sometimes, you know, it's not just enough telling them, "Okay, I'll pray for you. You know, I will, you know, support you. I will be with you." But, you know, sometimes God will also bring us to a point that we need to walk them through for a time. And it requires our very presence and our availability. You know, it's like coaching. It's like mentoring. Teaching them, mentoring them, having the truth as our standard. Let's look at verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, okay, the action here continues, okay? It's like a picture, a movie that we're watching. Verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, "Go! This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" I like how she charges Barak, right? She always points him to God. So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. Verse 15, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera. Who routed Sisera? The Lord. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. Imagine, no? At first, Barak was hesitant. It just took someone like Deborah to push him, to challenge him, to encourage him, to deliver God's word to him. And, you know, it was the Lord who fought for them. If you read more of that, you know, chapter 5, you would find out how it was, how Deborah mentioned that the stars in the skies fought. I'm just imagining how God have orchestrated the stars in the sky to confuse those enemies that Barak and his troops were fighting against. Can you imagine that? Okay, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. So who turned out to be coward? It's Sisera. He was scared, okay? Imagine the God of all the universe, the maker of everything, he was the one fighting against him. And let's take note of verse 16. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Wow, what's the result? A brave and courageous leader emerged. All because of someone who chose to step up for him. Imagine at first he was hesitant. This time when he saw that the Lord was there fighting for him, he went beyond the borders. He made sure that the enemy would be totally annihilated. And you know what? There's more that I did not mention here. There's another person who emerged brave and courageous in the person of Jael. Please read that later. It's for your assignment. It's for you to look at the Word of God, okay? You know, we can see here how God's voice impacts a nation and a tribe. Wow. Verse 7 states, Deborah's heart. She said, I arose as a mother to Israel. Now, I want to share and show you another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 7, when Deborah said, I arose as a mother to Israel. It's not that she was sleeping, you know. She took her courage, put her total faith in God, okay? And she took the responsibility of charging the next generation. And it rings the same verse that the Apostle Paul stated. Verse 15, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I believe that God is calling us, or God has called us to father and mother the next generation. You know, this is not just limited to our children. You can be guide. You just give advice. You just give counsel. You give help. But, you know, there's more than that. The spirit of Deborah is like rolling up your sleeves, you know, doing the dirty jobs, helping people who love the Lord, but they lack discipleship. They don't know the basic. They lack the strong foundation. You know, when you roll up your sleeves, you start digging, and then what happens when you're digging? Like when you are planting the foundation, the dirts come out, right? So you can lay down the foundation of truth. And sometimes that happens, and God would call us to do that. Why it's hard work. Sometimes they misunderstand you while doing that. Sometimes you get disappointed. Sometimes you get discouraged, right? But you know, I believe that's the call of God. We have to go all the way. We cannot just be guide. We cannot just, you know, watch them. And if they don't listen to us, leave them alone, okay? How many are fearful and harassed by life's troubles? There are many young and women today, they lost their identity, very much confused because of the strong voice of the culture. Imagine how confused they are. They come to church, we teach them the word, but when they go home, if the family is not deeply rooted in the word, what would they watch on TV? What would they see in the internet? What would the school teach them? The culture of the world is too noisy that sometimes it creates tension in them. That if there's no one who would walk them through, there's no father, there's no one who has the heart of a father and a mother to walk them through, they could easily be overcome. There are many marginalized group of men and women nowadays who cannot speak up because they are powerless. They don't have the source. They don't have, you know, because of poverty and oppression. Maybe they are ashamed, they are embarrassed, they don't want to come out because they don't want to be exposed. They don't have the real hope to experience real salvation. You know, I believe God is reminding us tonight, it's not just about us, church. Okay, God is calling us tonight to be part in the work of the advancement of His kingdom. Deborah arose in a difficult time because she was prepared in her secret place. Are you ready? Are we ready? Are we allowing God to prepare us? You know, Deborah, in her person, she had her personal space with God every day, every morning, her morning by morning devotion and prayer. She was attentive to God's voice. That's why she was aware that God was calling her, that God was telling her to charge these people. or my conclusion, no, we are all facing a seemingly difficult time because of many uncertainties. This pandemic, it's already almost 3 years. It's overdue. It has to end, right? Are we just going to watch and wait until it ends totally? What are we doing? Let's start praying. Have you been praying for the pandemic to end? Let's not just accept it. Let's pray. Let's declare God's word. Let's command the borders to open up. Okay. Let's decree the word of the Lord. How about the posing war in Europe? How about the wobbly economy? And so many other bad news that we hear today, you know, they have created so much noise in our heart and mind. And somehow, they have impaired our ability to hear the assuring voice of God. You know that God loves you. You know that God takes care of you. Wait, I heard that. I heard pastor preach that. Wait, I watched that somehow. Maybe I read that somewhere. But you know, because of all these noises, the worries, they have become your own narrative, and you can no longer hear the assuring voice of God. Fear sadly creeps into homes, into the heart of people, actually even to some believers. That's so sad. That's why there is this sense of paralysis that people seem to accept the present status. Maybe the doctor told you, there's no hope. Maybe a relative is sick and the doctor told you there's no hope. Are you just going to accept that? What does the word of God say? Start claiming. Start looking at God's word. How come you want to believe but somehow you cannot do anything about it? No, I believe God is drawing us closer to Him because He wants to heal and restore our ability to hear Him. May you all stand up. Pray. Lord, thank you for your word this evening, Lord. Thank you, God, for speaking to your church. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are drawing us closer to you as your church and reminding us, oh God, that you are for us, not against us. Thank you, Jesus, for you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised and honored. Tonight, Lord, we declare that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. Lord, we repent that somehow we switched our loyalty to other gods. We forgot, Lord, that you are sovereign. You are the God of our lives, who provides, who comforts us, who heals us, who delivers us from all our troubles, who took us out of darkness and brought us into your wonderful light. You are the Lord who has forgiven all our iniquities. Lord, open our heart, O God. Touch our heart tonight, Lord. I pray for your church, Lord, that you speak to our heart, O God. And we say, Jesus, take the rightful place in the throne of our heart. You are the Lord of our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak your truth, Lord, and send forth your truth that will bring, Lord God, clearer attentiveness, clearer, Lord God, hearing to your voice that's speaking to us, that assures us. Your people will no longer feel paralyzed, but God, once again, we will take up that full armor. And that is the sword of the Spirit, that is your word, O God. Help us, Father. Unload, Lord, those things that we have allowed our hearts to keep. And hunger for your truth and for your word that will bring change in our lives, that will bring change in our minds, that will give us faith, Lord, to put our trust in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Visit our website, everynationmacau.org, to hear more of our series podcasts, or if you wish to give online. God bless you.